Craig, let's start. Give me your thoughts on Pietrangelo and Nurse and the suspensions.
I thought that Pietrangelo deserved more. I haven't seen an act like that in a long, long time. And considering the situation in the game, considering how he literally hunted him down and then, you know, tomahawks him on the wrist, and it's Leon Draisaitl, I think the act needed to be penalized more severely. You know, coming out of the game on Wednesday night, Connor McDavid spoke, and I stood up there at the podium and I said, I agree with him. And then I went into a whole bunch of speculation mumble jumble instead of saying what I thought. And I agreed with Connor, and then I went in, well, I don't think they'll suspend him. It doesn't matter what I think they're going to do. I should be talking about what they should be doing. And he needed to be suspended, and I think that Pietrangelo got off light. That's what I think.
So you look at this situation and what it's going through. If you were the GM for the Vegas Golden Knights, do you coach him up? Do you coach Pietrangelo up, or like here's to say, not to say, or what's that process look like?
Like you mean in the hearing?
Yeah, prior to the hearing. Yeah.
I mean, in the hearing, Jason. I mean, they're going to ask the questions. They're going to be shown the video. So, you know, I think that what you want to impress upon the player in this case, Alex Pietrangelo, is saying, listen, it looked terrible. I wasn't trying to do it, and I let up at the end. You want him to minimize, you know, what the video shows, like in a real, what I would call in a real declarative manner. So you know, be contrite. Yeah, I slashed him. Yes, you know, it looked bad, but no, I wasn't trying to. You know, I mean, to me, it's deliberate intent to injure, and but you got to try to downplay the visual aspect with it, with being contrite and, you know, saying, hey, you know, didn't want it to look that way. And, you know, say, given a second or two more to think about it, you know, maybe I would have just chopped them instead of tomahawked them. But to me, you know, you try to argue against the video like that, you're in trouble. And I think that, you know, the player's agent is there, and or the PA is there, and you know they're part of the hearing call. But you gotta acknowledge that what you did wasn't right. That's the advice I give a player. Don't go in there saying, "Oh no, it wasn't what I was trying." No, you were trying to slash him. Okay, don't say you were trying to hurt him, because that only gets you into trouble. But don't try to downplay the act.
Craig Button joins us. So Craig, which team do you think is at a bigger disadvantage without their top defenseman tonight?
I think it's the Edmonton Oilers, and for these reasons. They've had a lot of success with the 11-7 configuration. And the 11-7 configuration just gives it a couple more minutes to be spread around on the blue line, but it also gives Jay Woodcroft an opportunity to double up McDavid and Draisaitl in different spots, whether it be together or different spots. And I think that that's working very favorably for the Edmonton Oilers. Then you think about 23 minutes plus of hard minutes that Darnell Nurse plays. So now DC loses his partner. Now you got to move somebody in there, Kulak. He's going to have to pick up a lot of those hard minutes. But then you have Broberg, Desharnais, and Kulak that have to play a lot more minutes than they played. And I think that puts the Edmonton Oilers into a compromised position. Jay Theodore is the number one defenseman in my view, and the other four defensemen that they have in Vegas are really good and capable of carrying those minutes. They do already. I think for the Edmonton Oilers, this impacts them. I think there's trickle across and trickle down effects that affect the Edmonton Oilers to a greater extent than it does the Vegas Golden Knights.
Joined by Craig Button, talking all things NHL here on the Gregor Show on TSN 1260. What about when you look at the Aiden Hill situation? You know, I'm not going to put the blame on him for the first game that he played, but do you think that there's a case that he made? The Oilers got to kind of get to him early and often tonight.
Okay, Jason, what I would say to you is, the bottom line is get after him early, get after him often, and chase him. Get right in his grill, get traffic in front of him, attack him, break him. That's what the playoffs are about. It's about breaking him. Bob Gainey said this many years ago to our group and to different kinds. He said, at the end of a series, when you're talking about how great the other goaltender has been, or at the end of a game, All it means, all it is code for we didn't find a way to solve them. Playoffs are unforgiving. You win or you lose. Get after them. Break them. It's as simple as that.
Toronto, Florida. Toronto, I thought, played really well defensively. They didn't give up much. They protected their young goaltender. They were still only up 2-1 in that game, so anything could happen. And they've stunk, like a lot of teams, at home this year. What's your expectation tonight in that series?
Okay, I know you love data. I'm going to just tell you. 2 out of 10 playoff games this year, the Toronto Maple Leafs had a game like that where their defensive posture was able to be better than their opponents. And you can talk about it all, 2 out of 10. And in the regular season, they had 8 versus 17. So when you're talking now about the number of games that they've been able to do what they did in game four, it hasn't been. And let me tell you that 8 versus 17, that's the playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. We're eliminating the non-playoff teams. Good competition. They've done it a total of 8 times during the year. 2 in the playoffs, 6 during the regular season. Do I like their chances to replicate it? No, I don't.
I like the numbers.
Yeah. Craig coming out hot with the numbers. Well, the New Jersey Devils obviously come up short against the Canes. Just a thought, quick thought on the Devils. And, you know, what do they have to add to their mix to you know, not just get back to where they were, but maybe push deeper into the third and fourth rounds?
Yeah, and this is a team that that played 12 playoff games. They hadn't played a playoff game in a number of years, and their young player to get those 12 games, I think, is really beneficial. So I think the first part, Jason, is it, you know, a beneficial experience, something that was positive, mm-hmm. something that they can build on. Now, the second part of that, I like their blue line. I really, really like their blue line. They're big. They can skate. Luke Hughes came in and showed that he's going to be a real strong defender. They got Simon Nemitz in the minor. He's going to be a really good player. So that blue line, to me, has got lots of different elements and strong elements for success. Up front, you know, you have 86 and 13. I mean, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch up the middle of the ice. And we know they have some speed. I think adding Timo Meier, a little bit more size there, I think that's always important, especially on the walls. They're quick and they're fast. But when you get to the playoffs, you got less room and less time, and you can get squeezed out a little bit more. Listen, Jesper Bratt's a good player, but you can't have you just need a little bit more weight, I think, in some areas of their team. And that's why I think it's imperative they did it by adding Timo Meier. And yep. I think that they, if they can find a way to keep him, I think that's got to be their first objective. But I think their main objective, Jason, is to find out who their goalie is. Who yeah. is our goalie? It's great to yeah. say we have a goalie of the future. They need a goalie of the present. And I don't think any of them has clearly demonstrated that they can be the goalie of the present. And I don't think that Tom Fitzgerald or Lindy Ruff have a belief that any one of them can be the number one guy. So I think that's their biggest area that they have to find an answer to. Who is their goalie of the present?
What do you make of Dougie Hamilton's play in that series, Craig? He was minus 10. Now, a few of those goals are shorthanded, which you can argue were even worse to give up. But you know what? You can't. It's hard to win a series when you're top guy. And he was minus 10 in the last 4 games.
So you're saying that's not very good, right?
Well, you know, I'm just saying the data, Craig. The data says.
Listen, I think that Dougie had a stretch of games that were far, far below what he's capable of. I mean, he had a good season. He had a really good season. I think that, you know, you get into the playoffs and you play the Carolina Hurricanes. So the Carolina Hurricanes use their speed. It's an unbelievable weapon. They use it to really force you into mistakes where they can create offensive chances. They use it defensively to force you to give up the puck and to put you into compromising positions, and then they take it in and transition so well. And I don't think Dougie Hamilton adapted to that very well. So, I mean, he's there for the long term. He's a good defender, really good, had a really good, strong season. But against that team, he struggled mightily. So to me, Dougie's the one that's got to come up with the answer. And he's the one that's got to understand that, like, I got to move the puck quicker and I got to be quicker in everything I do so that the next time I'm faced with this scenario that I can handle it. He simply wasn't able to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, I mean, they do play quick. And the Canes, I'm so impressed with that group. When you look at the three players are missing, and I think we can agree, if not top nine, it's definitely or close to three of their top six forwards, and they're just going. And you got guys like Martinik and Kokiniemi stepping up. I think maybe coaching and maybe a culture does make a difference.
Okay, and I think it does, Jason. You say you think, you know that it does. And when I look at the way the team plays and the way I summed it up is this way. The whole is far greater than the sum of the parts. And they had an excellent regular season. And I underestimated them. They lose Pacioretty. Then they lose Svechnikov. Then they lose Teravainen. And I'm like, wow, they're in trouble. And I thought they'd be in trouble against the New York Islanders. And New York, they got past them. And then I said, wow, they're going to have a different animal here with the New Jersey Devils. Well, they've lost three games to date in the playoffs. And I think that the way they play clearly embodies the way that Rod Brind'Amour played, and it's relentless. And it begins with the drop of the puck, and it doesn't end until the final buzzer goes. And that's the way they play, and they're after you, and it doesn't matter. And the other thing I will say about their team, if you look at their team, and we talk about players coming short at different points in the playoffs and adjusting and learning from or whatever, who won the Carolina Hurricanes didn't give the best version of themselves or come very close to always giving the best version of themselves. That, to me, is what makes strong teams.
Craig Button, Jordan Stevenson, Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Craig, Seattle's had an unreal run. Dallas just, Joe Pavelski, that guy, just the ageless wonder, continues to play well. And I just don't know if Seattle has an answer for Miro Heiskanen in that series.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. You think about game three, Heiskanen goes out, and, the Dallas Stars just collapsed. I mean, they capsized. And, Jake Oettinger gets pulled, and Heiskanen, controls the game. Offensively, defensively, transition. I mean, the thing I love about Miro is skating is outstanding. He's an exceptional skater. There's nobody that I've seen him play against that intimidates them with their skating. Nobody. And he's just so confident in his own abilities that he just goes out and plays. And it always feels like Miro's playing with this great freedom at a high level of competitive intensity. Big difference maker. Jake Oettinger has found his game after being pulled in game three. And Rupa Hintz, and keep this in mind, last year the Dallas Stars in game seven against Calgary, Rupa Hintz couldn't play because of the oblique injury.
Yeah.
Tied with Leon Draisaitl for the playoff scoring lead. Three really key players, but I think I'm along with you. I think Heiskanen is the driver of that team in so many ways.
Craig, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games. We will chat with you. Oh, by the way, quickly, do you have a favorite? Did you ever watch wrestling growing up? Or did you have a favorite wrestler?
Andre the Giant.
Nice. Big man. Hard to miss.
He was big, larger than life, right?
Yeah.
Very, very accurate. Very accurate. Craig, enjoy the weekend. We will chat with you next Friday.
Thanks.